it says that Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And the Bible says Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Back in the day, there was a crazy sounding but catchy song by a rock band called Aerosmith. Caught my attention and captured my brain, Brother Soltan. Because being a musician, Brother Rico, it wasn't that I was particularly in love with the song, but Brother CJ, it has some unique poetry and music and instrumentation, especially the lead guitar, Brother Allen. And so with this uniqueness in song, I was intrigued with the song. Pastor, I am sure you remember that old song, and I won't even go into the lyrics because they really don't make a whole lot of sense to me. But I was captivated by the not one, two, three, four, five, six, or even seven times that they said, but they went and they said it one more time. The eighth time they kept singing, walk this way. Yeah. Walk this way. Walk this way. People of God, our scripture says that Enoch walked with God. He was in close relationship with him. And after walking with God, he didn't even see death. But it was caught up to be with the Lord. So the Lord told me to come to tell you today that God wants us to walk in the way that he directs us to go.
Amen.
And so my topic for you today is walk this way.
Amen.
Let us pray. Let us pray. God, we do thank you in your name for the things that you have done in this worship service today. We bless you, O Father, for the good things and the old time way and how you have blessed us and how you have kept us. Now, God, as we deliver this service that you have given to your servant, allow me to give what your word says. And please, oh God, be pleased with my praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
The Mayo Clinic has said if you walk regularly, you can trim your waistline. And you can improve your overall health. And there are some long-term benefits that will continue for quite some time. Am I right about it, RCMD?
Yes.
And then Webster's Dictionary says that we can use the words walk or walking in the intransitive verb form. That means to walk or walking, it is a verb that does not need or require a different or direct object to indicate the person or thing acted upon. What you're talking about, Pastor Key? Well, it says, for instance, if you had the verb yawn, Y-A-W-N, and it's intransitive because it is not possible to yawn on something. Amen?
Amen.
Webster's Dictionary also says that to walk is to move along on foot, advancing by steps. I'm going somewhere, so just hold on a few minutes. What I like about one of the ways Webster's Dictionary suggests that we should be walking, Sister Leona, is that when it suggests to me that when we're walking in concert and we are walking congruent to or in line with the way that the Bible is walking, telling us to walk, because it says that walking is a manner of living.
Go ahead.
I like to explain it this way. That is when there is a certain code of Christian conduct that we must walk in. Amen?
Amen.
And there is a certain basic behavior that God expects us to walk in. Come on, somebody. And certainly there is a certain appropriate attitude to keep us our walk on with God pure. Any amens in God's house today? So, beloved, I invite you to hear what the Bible says in Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, where it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," meaning in a way that is careful, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, which means using your time wisely, because the days are evil. How many of you know that the days are more evil now than ever before? People are doing crazy things out there in the world. So, beloved, I just suggest to you to walk circumspectly before the Lord.
Amen.
Because this Ephesians scripture also says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." In other words, we can have the victory in Jesus, but first of all, we got to walk the way God says for us to walk.
Amen.
Everybody may not always understand it, but we have to walk this way.
Amen.
Before I get deeper into this sermon, Pastor, I think I need to make it known that we all, yes, all of us, yes, we all of us, every one of us from the pulpit to the door, sometimes find ourselves walking in ways that are like the world. It's not always intentional, but we are all human, and guess what? Humans make mistakes. Am I right about it? I just want to make sure I'm still in the right church. I know some are visiting away, but they may listen to this later on. And because of this, we don't always walk the way Jesus requires us to walk 7 days a week. See, we're supposed to do it 7 days a week. You see, Monday through Saturday, many people walk like the world, talking about that way of living. But on Sunday, guess what? We got Holy Sunday. Everybody walking like the Lord on Sunday. Amen, somebody. It's like showing up as a CME churchgoer. Y'all know what the CMEs are. They say those are the people that show up on Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. But you don't see them any other time. And because God desires that none should perish, we should strive the best we can to encourage the CMEs to show up on other occasions as well. Am I right about it? But just in case we need to get a little deeper, my question to us is, this morning, what happened to us on the other 6 days of the week? Is God not worthy to be praised from Sunday to Sunday? I tell you with conviction that he's more than worthy, and we who are his believers need to act like he's worthy and praise him every single day to the week. For many even believers, they get off track during the week, and the devil is able to change their walk so that they become spiritually crippled. I know this is kind of deep sometimes, but that is that they become spiritually unable to walk the way that God intends. They become spiritually unprepared to walk the way God intends, and they become spiritually unwilling to walk the way God intends for us to walk. How do we do it? How do we walk into areas of temptation where the devil has already set a trap for us? We walk into areas of contempt for God because we don't keep his commandments. And we walk away from the faith that we profess on Sunday morning. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Even believers will lay down their religion every now and then. And when we get familiar with Romans 3 and 23, we have to go back and say to ourselves, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And since we are sinners saved by grace, and we still sin by omission and commission, and we sin all the time, we have to go to God to help us in our sin. And allow him to forgive us while we are in our sins. And after we have committed our sins, it requires that we must continue to get back on the right walking path that God has set for us. Not the one the devil set, but the one that God has set for us. I will tell you that my regular bodily walking got a whole lot better after I lost some weight. And for all of us, Hebrews 12:1-3 says in the New Living Translation, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. People of God, sin will weigh you down, and it'll weigh your walk down. Did you hear me? This is a word for me as well as it is for you. For what I did say earlier is all of us have, who are saved by grace, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Hebrew scripture also highlights how we can then not just walk with and for God, but the Apostle Paul said, and let us run with the endurance.
Yes.
The race God has set before. That means get busy, y'all, walking in the ways of what God says and running in a race with the endurance that he has given us. He said it before us. So I know how I walk sometimes. I'm clicking. I realize that. It's also because we go off the straight and narrow path.
Right.
That is, we get off, we fall off, we run off, whatever it is, off the beaten path. And then we don't know where we are. We don't know, use God's GPS system to get us back on the right walking path. We somehow find ourselves off the path of righteousness. You might as well say amen, because all of us do, even believers. We get off track. But God says in Proverbs 3:6 that if we acknowledge him in all of our ways, then he will direct our paths. That he will show us how to walk. And that he will what? Direct our paths. That means he will show us where to walk. And he will make that walk smooth. That's good news today. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying the fact that he'll make my walk smooth. So walk in the ways of God. Submit to the ways and commandments of God. And watch him. Watch him. Watch him guide your walk. Some of us got to get a guide. And we don't need no other guide but Jesus himself. So our main topic today in our text tells us of a man who was named Enoch. Enoch was a man who many Bibles say started his walk, his clear and his close relationship with God at age 65. After he had had Methuselah, which y'all know became the oldest man who ever lived. After he had Methuselah and a few other children, he, at 65, started his walk with God. I add right here, let me raise my hand as I do. I'm 65 and I'm proud of it.
Amen.
But I'm so glad I started my walk long before 65. I started that walk when I was a little baby boy. But now, in Enoch's case, as the old folk would say, Brother CJ, better late than never.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, you know, some people out here dying and don't have a relationship with God at all. And so they need some type of relationship. They need to find God long before they leave this earth. And some are leaving way before age 65. Second Peter 3:9 says that God desires that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So Enoch is the first man that the Bible mentions as having a close relationship, a close walk with God. One theologian put it this way. He says that this quality interaction lasted for 300 years. Can you imagine a walk with God for 300 years? First of all, we can't imagine living 300 years. And adding 65 to that. I can't imagine. I ain't even trying to plan for 100. My wife will tell you the track record in my family ain't that good. Mama got to be 91, but that's about as high as we have gotten in our family. Let me tell y'all, even all on social media, I surmise that those in the 300 year category, Enoch must have been a man who walked like 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, he walked by faith and not by sight. He didn't look at what was around and he walked with God. He didn't need to see nobody else. All he needed to do was see God. A noted hero of the faith he was. And I also know that I have to type a relationship meant that we have in Hebrews 11:6 as a believer that Enoch must have wished to please God by walking according to his commandments, walking according to his ways, by walking in obedience to him. And because the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that those who want to please God, first of all, have to remember and know and show that he exists. And after you do that, you gotta believe in him. You gotta trust him. You gotta obey him. You got to walk with him. And for those who diligently walk with him, he is a diligent rewarder of those who are seeking his will. Come on, somebody. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Sometimes the walk means doing strictly what God tells you, whether people believe it's of God or not.
Amen.
So let me tell you, I walk with God daily. Anybody like me that will sometimes get off track,
amen,
I tell you that because God I serve is merciful,
yes,
I'm quick to go and ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
I will earnestly seek his face daily. See, I'm not one of these that got to have morning time prayer because I pray all day. As soon as I think of the goodness of the Lord, I start praying. I give God glory right when I walk, when I don't walk, when I'm laying down. Sometimes wake up in the middle of the night, Lord, thank you. Because he forgives even when you've done something that you didn't intend to do. And he will earnestly reward those who seek him. He'll freely provide wisdom. The Bible says all you got to do is ask for it. And he don't care about all the mistakes you made back in the day. But you know, I used to always tell my wife about how when I was going through engineering school, and in the time I made A's, everybody was very, very happy. But when I got that first F, because I didn't understand the instructor, first of all, then that was when everybody come down saying, what is wrong with you? I thought you were smart. But God will give you the wisdom that you need. Don't care about the mistakes in the process. I realized that being off track is only one thing. It's temporary. How about you? It should be temporary for you because God will get us back on the right track if we but trust him as our leader and our guide. And I don't know about you, but I love to walk with him daily. So let me give you a few things about Enoch's story, and I'll hurry up and be done. Four major things of interest in Enoch's story is that after the Bible gives a lengthy genealogy of the descendants of Adam all the way up to the group of Noah, it's clear that the Holy Spirit is telling us that the world was a much different place back then than it is now. For example, nowadays people don't live upwards to 900 years old. To get close to 100, as I was saying earlier, is a whole lot. In fact, the Bible says now in Psalm 90 and 10 that we get 70 years. And maybe 80 through reasonable health and strength. But after 80, let me put it like my wife's uncle, who now deceased, used to say, now after 80, we're living on borrowed time. That's what he used to say. I don't know what, I can't remember how old he was when he died, but it was more than 80. Secondly, let me tell you that Enoch, except that in the letter of Jude, verses 14 and 15, informs us that he was a prophet who spoke of God's judgment to fall on the ungodly. And let me just put it aside here. It doesn't matter what your age is. Right. God can still use you.
Amen.
I think people need to know that.
Yeah.
That God can still use you if you're young.
That's right.
He can use you when you're in between.
Yes.
He can use you when you're older. All you've got to do is let him. And I'll tell you also that by this time in the letter of Jude, the world is a wicked place. And the time of Enoch was before the great flood, and God sent that flood to destroy all the world because he was so disgusted with man. Third, let me tell you what is captivating about Enoch's story is the fact that the Bible says that his walk was so good that he was not. That's the King James Version, the old translations, meaning that he didn't die like all the others of his time. He didn't see death, but that God translated him, meaning he took him up because of his faith, and he had a close relationship. So he truly walked with God like Noah. It would be nice if we all could be caught up, but that ain't what the Bible says for us. It says that Enoch was the one who was translated. Fourth, there are some major things that we can draw from Enoch's relationship with God. One theologian, James Amaral, said that Enoch did some things. He did things like he confided in God. He spoke directly to God. He expressed his love to God. He expressed his need of God. Sister Dee Dee, he expressed his dependence on God. We need to get back to those kinds of things. Well, now, you know, Pastor and I will break all this kind of stuff down in another sermon one day or a future Bible study. So those of you who don't come to Bible study, trust me, we get into some deep things. And so you might want to come and enjoy it sometimes. It's on Zoom, you can be there. Even people who are out on social media, we put the numbers on our board, and so you can find us at any time on Bible study. So Enoch walked with God. He had a roadmap how to walk with God. Yes, we don't know all the facts, but for 300 years, plus 65, we know that he walked with God like God's son Jesus did, who had the perfect walk with the Father. So I know some of you are asking, But how do I walk with God, Pastor Keith, Pastor I, Minister Karen, all the ministers who are not here? How do I personally walk with God? First of all, look at Psalms 25 and 8, where it says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he shows sinners the way. Once you are shown the way, then look at Psalms 25 and 9, which says, he guides the humble. Got to be humble.
Yeah, yeah.
In what is right.
Yes.
And teaches them what? The way.
Yeah. The right way.
Amen.
Amen.
And then there is a promise to those who truly believe and act according to his word and walks in the way God directs. God says he will bring blinded, meaning sinful people, in covenant relationship with him. And will show them how to walk a way that they may not even know before. That he would make their dark walkways full of light. And finally, he'll make their crooked walkways straight. That's good news today. On the one hand, it's a lot for some. But on the other hand, it's a great promise to have. Knowing that if you're on the crooked path, he's going to straighten you out. If you're walking in darkness, he's going to put some light on it. And if you are down and you don't know where you're going, you might not know this way because it may be a new way that he put out there for you to walk. That's what God does. And the Bible adds that he will do this for all believers and will not forsake them, all believers. And my mama would say, show them. And I'll add, that's good news.
Yeah.
Let me give you some quick points and hurry up and get out of the way. Point one, we got to stand on the word.
Yeah.
That is, we got to follow his guidance, obey his commands, and it's all found in the word. I will tell you that as the contractor was building this beautiful pulpit area for us, that I stopped all the construction and I said to him, well, I gotta have a Bible. So I found a Bible. They were trying to give me this Bible here. I was like, no, no, that's our real Bible that we showcase, and we got it all on our communion table. So I went looking around, and we got plenty of Bibles in this building. And I took the Bible, and I threw it down under this pulpit where I'm standing because I wanted him and anybody else to know that in here, we're standing on the word.
Amen.
We're leaning on the word.
Amen.
We're depending on the word.
Amen.
And he got happy and began to say, oh, we're standing on a firm foundation. Well, I thank God for that.
Amen.
Because we want everybody to know that in this church, we're standing on the word.
Amen.
So he really appreciated that. But I know you're saying, well, okay, Pastor, I want to know some more general statements about how to walk with God. So I'm surely glad you asked me about it. I'm surely glad I can give you some examples. One of the ways that we gotta walk, and let me change my title from right now, from walk this way, is to walk his way.
Amen.
No longer just walk this way, but walk his way, being specific. So we got to walk in his way in decency. Romans 13 and 13 says, not in carousing, not in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, because he was talking to the Roman church. They were doing all kinds of things back then. And not in promiscuity. And then he says, semicolon, and walk not by quarreling and jealousy. Another way we walk his way is not in temptation. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, but when you are tempted, God will provide a way of escape so you can endure it. In other words, walk his way. Walk his way by serving others. I know sometimes it gets hard to serve people. But God says, walk his way. His way is service to us, and our way should be service to him. And by servicing him, then we have to serve his people. Walk his way by worshiping God in spirit, but not just in spirit, but in truth. We got to praise and worship him in spirit and deeply in truth. Walk his way by obeying him. Walk his way by spending time in prayer with him each and every day, even if it's not in the morning time. Like I mentioned, I don't normally always do. Sometime in the middle of the day, say, God, I thank you. God, I appreciate you. God, I love you for all that you've done. I bless your name because when I was down and out, you lifted me up. I thank you, God, for my life, my health, and my strength. I give your name glory. Even when the devil tried to keep you from loving God, you tell that devil, get behind me because I'm praying to my God who loves me and forgives me and keeps me. I want to walk his way. And then we got to walk his way in faith. Because God doesn't walk with unbelievers. But he always seeks to walk with the faithful. So whether your takeaway is to walk this way or walk his way, one of the things I really want you to get is that Jesus is the way.
Amen.
And his way is the best way.
Amen.
Enoch walked with God. I'm so enamored with this story. He had such a strong relationship with God. And God made it easy for him to walk his way, take the following steps to outline his way, and he could go and prophesy, he could go and do all things. But God also gave us Jesus for forgiveness of our sins. Forgiveness of our sins. Forgiveness of our sins. Died because of our sins. That so that we would believe in him and not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
That God will allow us to be able to confess him with our mouths, so that not only will we be saved, but we will be sanctified along the way, but we will be on our pathway to walking his way, to finding more love towards each of us, more of a way to be dependent on God, and more of a way to need more from God.
Amen.
Walk this way.
Amen.
Or better yet, walk his way.
Amen.
And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.